The headline on the front page of Sunday's Oregonian read as follows: How Environmental Watchdog Lost Its Bite, with a subheadline, The Oregon Department of Environmental Quality often bends to industry, which donates vast sums to lawmakers who control the agency's budget. Bill Resnick is here to give us his analysis of the article and the scope of the problem.
Hi, folks. Bill Resnick for The Old Mole, a commentary on the Portland Oregonian. And a great surprise to me, it did a really good expose of the State Department of Environmental Quality, the DEQ, and also the Oregon legislature, and also exposed what was really surprising to me, the companies and industries that was pressuring both our elected representatives and the DEQ to go easy on pollution. Indeed, often do nothing about very dangerous, even lethal conditions. The five-part expose, two to go, attributes that to the campaign finance system, basically the same story told by much of the left, that the corporations buy the legislators through big campaign contributions, and the legislators of both parties, they put pressure on the regulators, the DEQ, to do nothing. The obvious and usual mainstream liberal cure for that, supported by the left, is to tighten up and reform the campaign finance system. Unfortunately, it isn't that easy. Campaign finance does play a part, but is not the major factor as to why politicians side with the corporate set in near every decision on taxes, on unions, on health care, on pharmaceuticals, on climate change, on housing, on and on police. The answer to that is hiding in plain sight. It's because big companies and the business, quote, community, they have a stranglehold on the fate of every country and near every city and village on this planet. For big countries, and this is the big story of the last 40-some years of working-class decline, because if they, the major companies and employers, decide to leave or stop investing in the city, if enough do, the city goes desolate and its residents suffer. Near every developed country has its Detroits and Clevelands and numerous other Rust Belt cities. Once thriving cities with strong unions, high wage levels, such that even one-earner working-class families, at least of the white majority, could look forward to owning a home and sending the kid to some sort of credentialing education, then on to a career. What happened to these Rust Belt cities? Their major industries moved to places with much lower labor costs and much greater profits. And as the companies took flight, jobs became tight, unemployment began soaring, people who could leave did, houses became empty and fell to ruins. For the people who stayed, housing values crashed, property taxes went up, Main Street businesses, groceries, pharmacies, all of them, retail, many of them failed. Mainstream got boarded up. The hospitals and schools, they had to do with much less. Local government was cut to the bone on everything, including aid to the poor and street and infrastructure repair and what they call public safety and the judiciary. How then does the city dependence on corporate goodwill impact politicians? Well, the politicians know that people are worried and angry, but intimidated. They know average folks are afraid for their jobs, their housing value, the value of their homes, schools, and roads. So the politicians try like hell to be seen as someone who lured companies to move to our downtown. They fight like hell to be seen at ribbon-cutting ceremonies for some company coming or expanding. They also fight like hell to not be seen as someone who frightened companies away or made life difficult for them. And so our elected representatives, they do what they can to please business. Regardless of campaign finance, if the Chamber of Commerce or just a group of peers decide to brand the politician as not business-friendly, or even worse, hinted that if the politician was elected or reelected, then the company would more seriously consider all the offers of subsidies from other cities or inviting the company to relocate. Well, that's the kiss of death for most politicians. And note, the agility mobility of capital is not just a problem for politicians. It's a big problem for unions, too. It's near impossible for unions to win elections if the company pulls out the heavy artillery and points out ever so subtly, sometimes not so subtly, that they are constantly being solicited by other cities and countries who value the jobs they provide. Union voters also vote in elections with many others, and they take it seriously if a company or a group of them says that a candidate wins, they might have to relocate. The people are intimidated, and that's the story of today's Democratic Party. Men and women who are very careful not to antagonize local big ones, for sure, and surely not the big national ones. Well, what's the answer? Well, it's obvious. Build a working-class movement to limit the power of agile mobile capital and reconstruct the society. Indeed, that's what the Green New Deal is aiming at, as the only way to save the planet. Of course, that's another story. Anyway, it's not only the climate that's heating up, so is politics. And indeed, those frightened and timid people, they are talking about alternatives to capitalism. One thing you can rely on, there will be more on these issues on our Old Mole Variety Hour, so stay tuned.